start the recording this week. Bugs me when I mess it up and I have to go home and do it again. So we'll do it one time this week. But no, it is the holiday season's coming and all the things around with it. And, you know, there's different rules and different sayings that we follow. You know, rule one, don't sweat the small stuff. And what's rule two? It's all small stuff. It's all small stuff. So don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. And sometimes we always keep majoring in the minors, as they say. Always, you get to, you know, you get to a point, you got to make decisions and where the rubber meets the road, you know, where it really matters. And but the main one I want to do today, and we're going to focus on, is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So that's what we want to do this holiday season. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. But it can be hard. It's difficult. There's a lot of, we get distracted by a lot of things. And sometimes by perceived failures. You know, we didn't accomplish everything we wanted to do. Things didn't happen the way we wanted it to. And we think, you know, those are little failures that we've come up with. And we can lose focus. We can get discouraged when those things happen. But Thomas Edison was a good example of this, how to not to lose focus, not to get discouraged. You know, he said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. He didn't give up. He's going to keep trying. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't fail. He just found 10,000 ways not to do it. So the right way's coming. But we need to stay focused, and we need to keep the main thing, this holiday season. And as we get there, Thanksgiving and Christmas, as I said, activities really pick up. We've got so much going on. So much going on. We've got Thanksgiving dinner coming up. We got Christmas trees. Got to get the ornaments all on there. And some just have to be so-so. You know, this tree's got to be made this color. Or this tree's got to have these ornaments on it. And, you know, years ago, I remember somebody in town here, everything she had was blue. I don't know if you remember or not, but it was years ago. I mean, everything in the house was blue. Couches were blue. The Christmas tree was blue. The Christmas lights were blue. Tinsel was blue. Literally everything was blue in her entire house. You know, decorations people put out. You know, got to get this out. And I've seen some really weird ones. The one last year down here at the end of the road was some other country creepy Christmas Santa type character. I don't know. It was really weird. So I don't understand all of it, but put out our decorations. And we got lights and candles and tinsels and wreaths and all of those things that we got to get out and get those put in. And then all the food. You know, 'tis the time for food. You know, we get the dinners to prepare for family and maybe friends, and we bake the cookies. Cookies and candies and pies. Oh my. I was waiting for Ralph to give the oh my. Yeah, cookies and candies and cakes and, you know, icing them. The cookies can be a group activity. Joni and the granddaughter icinged a bunch of cookies yesterday. Sometimes we do that with kids or grandkids or family members, you know. Then they got need to go get gifts. You know, buying or making gifts for however many people you think may think of that you need to give a gift to. And then shopping for all the above. The gifts, those lights that went out from last year, you know, the tree that finally fell down and broke in half, all the food ingredients we need to cook everything or make all those cookies and things. You know, there's Christmas concerts by kids and adults. There's work and family dinners. There's Christmas parties. There's programs. So much to do, so little time. And, we don't have a lot of weeks left this year, if you really look at it. You know, our calendars look like a mess with all the scribbled dates on them. And then we think, how are we going to make time to be there when we also have all the regular stuff that's in our life to do and the schedule that's going on? So Not only that, but the holidays, you know, we get into that busyness, but holidays are also a time, for many, it's a sad time. It's a time of bitterness. It's a time of loneliness. You know, it's not all joy for some who have lost loved ones and remember those, and other times. It's not all good for those to get a little bitter about maybe tough times or things going on around them. Kind of just the world today is enough to cause you to be a little bitter. But then loneliness comes up, you know, even more this time of the year. You know, we miss those that we used to be around. And especially when people are talking about getting together with family and loved ones, and television is telling us what it's supposed to be like. You know, you got the Hallmark and the Great American Family and all the shows, the Christmas shows the nice homes and the big dinners and everybody getting together, and they show us what it's supposed to look like. That's not always real life. The people, we get caught up in the busyness of the times and we lose sight of what's truly important. We'll start out with Romans chapter 14 today, verses 13 to 23. Romans 14, 13 to 23. And it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom God, Christ, died. Therefore, do not let what you know as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. You know, the holidays bring out, or at least to our mind, a time of more giving. You know, more giving, a time of love, a time of peace. We celebrate those things. But we continually do everything every year for our own reasons. Again, we put up that same tree, we put up those same ornaments. They have special memories for us. But we should be doing it with the love of God and others in mind. And you know, sometimes we keep doing the same thing. Sometimes I don't know necessarily peer pressure, but it's what we're expected to do. You know, the other people we know or other family, they just expect us to do these things every year. Maybe it's just a perceived pressure, but we feel an obligation to do it. Maybe it's the old phrase, it's just what we do. It's just what we do year after year after year. Maybe it's just the traditions we keep. We do those things. You know, I was going to say people have battles every year, but it's really Christians who I'm talking about. Christians have battles every year this time of the year concerning all the decorations and the Christmas trees. And we really have trouble, a lot of people, separating out traditions from spiritual observances. And they're completely different. And, you know, as we celebrate Jesus and we offer him our thanks and our gratitude, it doesn't mean we can't celebrate traditions as well. You know, many of the traditions can be tied into Jesus and his life and why we celebrate him. You know, and some of those traditions, yeah, came from pagan practices. But that doesn't mean we celebrate them in that way. You know, we don't worship the Christmas tree. We don't worship the wreaths. That's not what they are to us, you know. But we can celebrate them because we can tie them into Christ in our way. You know, lights and candles. Generally for the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world. We're to be a light in this world. You know, evergreen and wreaths. Trees and wreaths, you know, remind us of eternal life. Even candy canes with the colors and the design of it. We tie in and depict Christ and his sacrifice for us. You know, we put manger scenes for the birth of Christ. We put angels out who spread the good news. But all of it's between you and God. You know, God's word says it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about decorations. But it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is what we make them be. You know, we don't worship the things that we call traditions, but a lot of people have difficulty with that. A gentleman by the name of Ray Steadman, you may have heard of him. He was a pastor. He's gone now, but he's a good one to study if you want to read commentaries. But in one of his books, he said he had once heard of a church that got into an argument over whether they ought to have a Christmas tree at their Christmas programs. Some thought a tree was fine, and they understood it in a Christian sense, you know, what the Christmas tree meant. Others thought, nope, Christmas trees are pagan origin, and you should not have any Christmas trees. And so when the time came for the party, one group brought a Christmas tree in, and the other group dragged it back out. And the first group dragged it back in. And then they got into a squabble. And said, finally, some actual fistfights broke out in church over a Christmas tree. Over a Christmas party over the tree. And eventually, word got out and the whole thing made the newspapers. Because they ended up suing each other. Now, Ray said, you know, he said, he looked at it, he said, well, what else could non-Christians conclude but that the gospel consists in whether you have a Christmas tree or not? We just lose sight of things, you know, what they mean. You know, and Joni and I have been there over a Christmas tree. It wasn't about having a Christmas tree. That part was okay, but it was about, well, where can we put it? You know, where it could and couldn't be placed in the church. And the tree was actually donated. Well, then it got to be who donated it. Well, that's a bad idea because it was accepted from a particular person that a particular group was mad at. So we shouldn't have accepted a free tree because they were angry at this person. Actually said it would create bad karma. Which is kind of scary to imagine Christians talking about karma and what that means, you know. Kind of taking it to the extreme, you know, Christians in a church saying, using a Buddhist term, a Hinduist term, in this case, the feelings for a tree and how it's going to affect our future life because of that tree. That's not what it's about, you know, as if God's not in control of things. But, yeah, that's how bad it can get. Ultimately, that's one of the reasons we left that church. But that's what can happen, just a squabble. So I feel for Stone's church because it doesn't take much sometimes to create a rift in people. And it's not what it's about. We lose sight of what it's about. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and you all know these verses. It's Mary and Martha and Jesus. But Luke 10, 38 to 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Now we go back, talk about making the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? Well, the main thing is Jesus. It's what this time is for, special celebrations of Jesus and his command to love him and to love others. Jesus is the main thing. All the other things matter. They do matter, but they're not the main thing. You know, we get busy with all the day-to-day things and maybe feel what we're expected to do, and we miss out on the important things. We really have to make thought-out choices on what is priority and what to focus on. You know, Martha was focused on what she felt she had to do, what she needed to be doing and to have done and prepare for those that were coming to her house. And she was even upset because she wasn't getting any help from those she expected to help her. She was busy, so they should be too. I know many people are get wrapped up and you know, I got to clean the house. I got to make sure the house is clean. I got to scrub the bathrooms. I got to make sure it's swept. And women are all giggling now. I'm trying to make this better for you. But I got to get this done. I got to do the cleaning. Then I got to do the cooking. And I got to have the table set. And, you know, it needs to be this way. And, you know, so much. And we work ourselves to where we don't enjoy it. Now we're too tired to enjoy it. So we've lost track of the main thing. Just Jesus and our relationships with others. But it says Martha was distracted by all of the preparations. The little things in the big picture, as Jesus was sitting at her table. Again, I'm not saying preparations weren't important. They were. But they're not the main thing. Mary chose the main thing. Mary chose Jesus. She chose to recognize him. Put her time there. Don't let Jesus and time with him be taken from you. Don't let other things be an unintended substitute for Jesus this holiday season. We're going to have an invitation time. Before we do, I want to turn to Ephesians 5:15-20. Ephesians 5:15-20. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get caught up in the things of life. You know, one guy I mentioned said, don't spend your life arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's not going to last. It's not important. So don't spend your life arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's not going to mean anything. Keep the main thing as your main thing. No, God's kingdom is the main thing. And it centers not on external matters, but our relationship with him and others. So I challenge you this season Take time this season to reflect on the main thing and what it is. Don't let the main thing be overshadowed by the smaller things. It's not easy. I know it's not. Because we can get wrapped up in the busyness. It takes effort to protect it, the main thing. You got to make choices. You got to make a concerted effort to do it. But we can think we're actually serving by being busy, but then our own personal walk with God is suffering and set aside. So I challenge you to enjoy the moments this time of the year offers. But don't miss out on the most important moments. Let's pray.